Hello and welcome to Relationship Rewind on WERU-FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Jazz Bradley, the youth educator and advocate at Next Step Domestic Violence Project. Often, young people are expected to just know how to be in relationships in healthy and equal ways, but we learn through the examples of relationships given to us, and big place we see these examples is in the media we watch. That's why this show uses media like movies and TV shows to start conversations about harmful and unhealthy behaviors in the relationships portrayed. But this is not to pass judgment on the media that we're discussing. Every month, we invite young people in Maine to give their perspective, voice their thoughts, opinions, and experiences around what they've seen in media and how it has impacted them or the people they know. There are sensitive materials in and spoilers of the media we discuss. Today's episode explores the song Love the Way You Lie by Eminem featuring Rihanna and the relationship dynamics portrayed throughout its lyrics. While the song is widely recognized for its powerful storytelling and emotional intensity, it also presents important themes surrounding unhealthy relationships, including emotional abuse, manipulation, jealousy, cycles of conflict, and reconciliation. The song has resonated with many listeners over the years, but it also raises important questions about how love and abuse are sometimes intertwined or romanticized in popular culture. To help unpack these themes, I'm joined by my co-host, Carrie Clark. Together, we'll discuss how the song reflects the cycle of abuse, the warning signs of unhealthy relationships, and why behaviors like controlling a partner, explosive arguments, emotional manipulation, and repeated patterns of harm should never be mistaken for love. We'll also explore how media can influence our understanding of relationships, the importance of recognizing harmful behaviors, and what healthy relationships should look like. Ones built on respect, trust, honest communication, quality, and safety. If you need support or would like to learn more about dating violence or domestic violence, please reach out to us at Next Step by calling our 24/7 helpline at 1-800-315-5579. You can also find resources for young people on our website at nextstepdvproject.org/4-youth. Keep up with our community events and see upcoming information about our show by following us at Next Step Domestic Violence Project on Facebook or on Instagram at Next Step DV Project Official. I'd like to now welcome my co-host Carrie Clark as we begin our conversation about Love the Way You Lie. Carrie and I are going to be discussing Love the Way You Lie by Eminem featuring Rihanna, and this is a popular 2010 song, so it's 16 years old this year, and I think a lot of the song is still prevalent in, you know, relationships and the world that we're experiencing now. And there's a lot of things that I have thoughts on, and I know Carrie, you mentioned that you have thoughts on too. What are some of the major standouts for you?
I have been thinking about this song since I started hosting this podcast, actually. So I've just been like waiting for my chance to talk nonstop about it, because this song did come out in 2010, which was right when I was newly 21, which sounds insane. I feel like ancient saying that. And I was getting out of one relationship and into another one very quickly. And so this song was very popular when I was having my experiences with dating violence myself. And so it's just interesting to me how my view of the song has changed. Because when I was going through my experience and this song was popular, it was a song that I kind of clung to in the way that we do, especially when we're young. If we identify with the lyrics very strongly, and I used it to kind of justify a lot of what I was going through. And when I look at it now, I have very different feelings about it. The song starts right out with the chorus. We can just start there. And it's Rihanna sings the chorus part. It's basically, you're going to stand there and watch me burn, but that's all right because I like the way it hurt. Just going to stand there and hear me cry, but that's all right because I love the way you lie. And even without context, the lyrics of the chorus really evoke strong feelings in one direction or the other, I feel like, depending on the person, because we all experience songs differently. I have heard people say, like, yeah, no, absolutely not. Like, there's even a really popular meme online, and it's something like, I'm not Rihanna. I don't love the way you lie. I will block you. And I always laugh when I see it because that is like one way that people take those lyrics and experience them. And then there's the other way, which is how I always experienced these lyrics, which was like, oh my God, I get it. I've been there. I understand those feelings. Like somebody is really harming you and making you feel terrible, but you love them so much that you kind of make excuses for their behaviors or can justify the things that they're doing to you. And so that's how I always took those lyrics. And I think that you can experience them in many ways and feel all sorts of different things, which is what I love about music because everybody feels differently about the same thing. It's all about your perspective and your experiences.
2010, I think I was 12, maybe 13. I was a little bit younger, but I still think I can relate. Looking back on it, I hadn't quite experienced any dating relationships yet in my life, but just other life situations. Obviously, we don't want people to lie to us. Like, I was interpreting it that first way. It's really hard to know if somebody's lying to you. And being young and not understanding how the world works yet or how relationships work, it was more like, oh, this is a really great song because all the people are loving it. Like, it was a very well known, it was passed at like all the dances. It was just like, oh, well, why wouldn't you want a relationship like this? Because it almost was like, well, Rihanna and Eminem are together, or they're making it feel like that they're together and they're dating and they love each other so much, and yet they're doing all of these things. I really like that you brought up the perspectives, because I think at all different stages of our life, we can interpret this in a different way, because I definitely interpret it in a different way than I did then, because I was a lot younger, and I've gone through a lot more relationship experiences now, and I have felt this way. Like, I can feel how Rihanna was talking and expressing in her singing and the chorus. And it's super hard to tell someone, why wouldn't you stand up for yourself? It's super easy to do that, but in reality, it's really hard for that person experiencing it. You and I both know, obviously, working with survivors for as long as we have, it isn't easy. It's never an easy way out to just say, hey, you can leave that person, you can do these things. It's a lot harder and more complex. Was there anything else that captured your thoughts in that chorus? It's the main part of the song, right? And it's being kept singing over and over again. And I think that kind of like also deters the listener sometimes too, because it's catchy and it's doing all of those things. But it's like that self-destruction piece or that obsession from the other person. I think so, kind of, I interpreting it as like, although I can see that you're lying to me, I still have to hold on because of what we had before.
Yeah, and I think that actually segues beautifully into like that was my next thought was there is a lot in these lyrics about how things are really, really the highs are really high, but the lows are drastically low. I think you said it great. Like we hold on to the good, and that can be why it is so hard to see when somebody is doing these harmful things because it's hard to reconcile the different behaviors. Like this person treats you super well, but this is also the same person that is harming you. For example, like the lyrics, as long as the wrong feels right, it's like I'm in flight. High off her love, drunk from her hate. And then it even goes to say, she effing hates me and I love it. And then there are lyrics that say, it's so insane because when it's going good, it's going great. I'm Superman with the wind at his back. She's Lois Lane. But when it's bad, it's awful. I feel so ashamed. I snapped. Who's that dude? I don't even know his name. I laid hands on her. So it really shows that juxtaposition of like the good and the bad and the love and the hate and how they can coexist together so strongly and so closely. It just shows how that can be very confusing. And that kind of ties back into that chorus piece where she's saying, like, yeah, it hurts and you're lying to me, but I love it, or I love you, basically. And yeah, the song is just, it's so well written. Eminem and Rihanna are hugely popular artists. They're extremely talented. So I think that they did a very nice job with this song, the way that it was done. But I do think that it can be extremely impactful for somebody who's listening to this and maybe identifying with some of these things, like I was. I know in my situation, I felt that, like, oh my gosh, yeah, it's so good when it's great, but when it's bad, it's awful, right? And so I was kind of left hanging on to those good things, and that is why it was so hard and so confusing when people are saying, well, just go, just leave, what are you doing, right? I identified strongly with this song for that reason, I guess. I wrote down a quote that popped into my head when I was reading through these lyrics, and specifically that part with the things being great and then also being bad. I can remember, and it was in probably 2010 when I was going through this, a friend of mine said to me, I've never seen you so happy, but I've also never seen you so sad. And that has stuck with me since then, and it's something that I will always remember. And that is what these parts of the song remind me of in my own situation.
Thank you for sharing, a little bit about that experience and how you were feeling and how you interpret this song through that painful experience. And yet again, like at that time, you were thinking all these same things. You cared about that person or people and you still love them. Even though that experience was so painful, it's also helped you grow to the person you are now. And I think too, we're hearing like a man's perspective in this relationship. I mentioned that because Rihanna came out with a second part that's more a woman's perspective in an abusive or destructive relationship. And I think, again, we don't often hear the man's perspective a lot of the times in social media. So I think it, like you said, it's very well written in the fact that these relationships do happen and men do have feelings about them. And he is clearly in this song saying, like, I know what I'm doing is wrong. And so he is taking a little bit of accountability, I think, and we don't often see that either. But he's still saying, oh, well, we're still going to be together. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. So I'm taking accountability, but it doesn't matter. I'm still going to hurt you because I love you so much. And back to the reality of love shouldn't hurt. Love should never feel like it's a competition. It should never feel like you have to be making your feelings less than. Yes, so your friend noticed, well, you are so happy, but you're so sad. So your happiness shouldn't be coming from the sadness either. Because you were feeling sad maybe all the time, those happy moments really made you feel happy and good.
I agree, and I think that's a really important point, bringing up his perspective, right? So the person who's doing harm, we don't often get to actually hear their thoughts, like their actual inside thoughts or the way that they're feeling about the things that they're doing. That was something that I really liked about the last episode I did. We talked about a show where there's a book, and I read the book, and you get to actually read it from the abuser's perspective, and it was so interesting. And so it's the same kind of with this song, where you get to kind of see the different points of view, and you more so get to see Rihanna's point of view in the second part. Along with that, we see a lot of, you're just as bad as I am. Like, you're doing things too, right? And that is something that I think the song gets very close to real life in these situations, because that's something that we hear from a lot of people that we work with too. Yeah, but I also said these horrible things, or I also am doing these things. And like, as advocates, we know that as reactive violence, and it is a really confusing thing when you're going through that as a survivor. And so the way that that's written in this song, right, is like being lost in the moment, it calls it, or says, It's the rage that took over. It controls you both. And then he goes on to say, we said things and did things we didn't mean. So he's like kind of lumping her in with that. We fall back into the same patterns. Your temper's just as bad as mine is. You're the same as me. When it comes to love, you're just as blinded. And then the extreme of maybe that's what happens when a tornado meets a volcano, he says. You said, I love you too much to walk away. It's like, you're just as bad as me, but I love you too much. So we're going to continue this. I feel like that is something that we see a lot in relationships where these things are happening. And that's definitely something that I experienced as well. That is something that I know in my experience, I clung to that. Like when I heard this song, and I feel like music in that way can be so powerful and so impactful, especially for young people who are just getting into those relationships and maybe just starting to have these experiences. And it can really be harmful, I think, to see this in a song that we identify so closely with.
If you're just joining us, this is Relationship Rewind on WERU-FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Jazz Bradley, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Carrie Clark, as we discuss the relationship themes portrayed in the song Love the Way You Lie by Eminem featuring Rihanna.
I agree. I don't know why it just keeps popping up, but competition. The word competition just keeps coming to my head, and it's almost like a competition for in the song for him. Like, well, I might have pushed you into the coffee table, but we're gonna have makeup sex the next day. Or the dynamics of like, well, you do this and I do this. Like, we're both the same. Like you said it perfectly. We're both doing the same things. Your temper's just as bad as mine. And yes, I also was like a tornado meets a volcano. So you want a really scary, destructive love life? That's where my brain goes. And I just think again, like, it shouldn't be a competition, right? Healthy relationships should make you feel safe. It shouldn't be any tornado and a volcano in a relationship. That's supposed to be your safe space. You're supposed to be above water and, you know, on the ground with your feet planted. You shouldn't feel like you're in a state of distress all of the time. And to me, that's what it's really saying. It's this song, you're not allowed to feel safe. Or I love you so much that I will keep you safe, but on my terms. One of the underlying themes is also, you're going to be able to feel loved and feel safe, but only because I'm letting you, only because I'm controlling that narrative.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that that is kind of explored a lot more in the second song as well. That just kind of feeding off the conflict sort of mentality. I know, where's the line? I think it's the end where he says, know that no matter how many knives we put in each other's backs, that we'll have each other's backs because we're that lucky. That was just very jarring to me to read. And yeah, it's like that competition. You hit me twice, yeah, but who's counting? I may have hit you three times. I'm starting to lose count. But together, we'll live forever. We found the youth fountain. Like, it's just this competition. Who's worse? We're both terrible situation. And again, that's all from his perspective. That's what he's saying. And then we have her in this second song. And it's very, you know, and the tone matters too, because if you've heard the songs, his tone is very aggressive and escalating and angry, and her tone is always calm and sad sounding. She's singing like, in this tug of war, you'll always win, even if I'm right. Maybe I'm a masochist. I try to run, but I don't want to ever leave. And so we can see those conflicting feelings that she's having while he is being aggressive, and it's ramping up and it's escalating. And it always seems to end in flames in both songs. And I can remember listening to this song back in the day, thinking, wow, that escalated quickly. Like, that's not realistic, because I hadn't yet experienced that. And of course, now I know, as we do, especially in this line of work, that those escalations do come very quickly and they are unexpected. And so when he is starting to say, you know, next time I'll aim my fist at the drywall, there won't be a next time. And then it quickly escalates to, if she ever tries to leave again, I'll tie her to the bed and set this house on fire. And that's such a huge leap, you would think. But It's really not. And it is very serious and it is very realistic. And I think that is something that is important for people to keep in mind when they're listening to this song. Because no matter how many times I've heard this song, that line always gets to me because we know that it can go from, well, they've never put their hands on me, or they've only done this, or it's only ever been this bad. So, like, that's where the bar is. But it can always escalate and it can become very dangerous very quickly, especially if the things that were working to control a person isn't, they're no longer working. And the second song ends very similarly with talking about burning the house down. He says, "Our love is crazy, we're nuts, but I refuse counseling. This house is too huge. If you move out, I'll burn all 2,000 square feet of it to the ground." And it's just that same, like, jarring, wait a minute, then it goes right into this beautifully haunting chorus again. And it just kind of all ties in together. And so I just think it's so important to be mindful of the fact that these very scary things do happen often as an escalation, as a result of these behaviors that are happening that we're kind of trying to justify or learn to live with or blame ourselves for.
The two songs definitely, I think, describe the cycle of abuse in both of those perspectives of being the one experiencing and then being the one to hurt their partner. When I hear the "I'm a tie her to the bed and set the house on fire," I just think I shouldn't be threatened by my partner that they're going to kill me. Know that that is how they love me. That shouldn't be that way. No one that we love should be threatening to murder us. Easier said than done, again, because we build these connections with people in any part of our lifespan. Like, this relationship could have been, maybe they were high school sweethearts, like within this song. However, they built such a life together and such a connection. They're codependent on each other, is what it's portraying. And they're saying they can't live without each other, even if that means hurting each other. Even if we're hurt, even if we're bruised, even if we're bloody, we're still going to be together no matter what, because we've built this connection and no one else can ruin that. It's if whoever's going to ruin it's going to be one of us, and we might be dead. And that's okay, because that's love, is what it's being portrayed. And really, that is not love. I think for me, I've definitely felt that way. I've had previous relationships where people have said to me, "Well, if you leave me, I'm going to kill myself." And again, I feel like that's also kind of being portrayed in this as well. And that those feelings of guilt that a person that is being told that, right? I felt so guilty when my partner at the time was saying, "Well, if you leave me, I'm going to hurt myself. I'm going to kill myself. It'll be your fault because you wanted to leave me." When now I know it's out of my control. When somebody says those things, that is their choice. But being such a young kid when I was told this, it really made me feel like I wasn't enough, like I was worthless, but also a huge responsibility for somebody's life. Well, I have to make them happy so that they don't hurt themselves or hurt me. And I think people often ask why. Well, why do you stay in the relationship? Why don't you just leave? It's fear and guilt. There's so much fear of what will happen to that person or what will happen to you or your family. If there's been threats of violence in the past, or that guilt of, well, if I do break up with them, they will kill themselves, and I can't live like that because then I know it will be my fault. And I think it's happening more and more too. Just like, well, that entitlement of feelings. I'm gonna make you feel like you're responsible for how I feel. You're not responsible for anyone's feelings other than your own. And I don't think that's talked about enough. Like, I have no responsibility over you. You are responsible for yourself and how you feel about things. I can tell you how I feel, but you can't control those feelings. And I think people aren't seeing that anymore because of these relationships that we see through social media, through songs, through movies and TV shows, just like what we talk about. I really think that a lot of that goes back to like the self-worth piece. Like, can I truly love myself before I love somebody else? I think sometimes that self-love journey happens when you're learning to love somebody else too, and it can really help someone. But I also think for you to truly give your all to someone else, you can give your all to yourself first. I think that's such a big thing. And I think we kind of see that in Rihanna's version too. Like, she's like really soft-spoken, like you said, and she's really talking about, well, you did all of these things, and yet I'm still here. I'm still going forward with my life. And the chorus is that, "I love the way you lie." To me, it's also like, yes, she's aware that he's lying, and yet she still sees him as this great person, or this person that she's always had a connection to, right? She's seeing him not for those lies, but for who he really was in those good times. And that to me brings out like the best qualities of a person. If you can look past somebody's mistakes or somebody's hurt that they've caused you, that to me makes me think that you're the bigger person in that situation.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was beautifully said, and I really appreciate kind of putting a spotlight on the guilt that people can feel when maybe they do want to distance themselves from somebody who's causing them harm or even leave a relationship entirely. But they're so worried, like you said, about what's going to happen, especially if that person has threatened self-harm or to harm them or to harm somebody that they care about or to share personal information or photos. Like, there is a never-ending list of things that people will threaten to keep control over someone when they feel like they're losing that control. And it's very serious and it's very scary. And I think, like you said, it is so important to understand that you cannot control what somebody else is going to do or how they're going to feel. And so it's okay for your priority to be your own safety, whether that's physical or mental. You are important and you are worthy of kindness and respect. And somebody who truly loves and cares about you will give you those things. But in the meantime, it's okay that it's confusing and it's okay that it's hard. And I would encourage folks who are maybe feeling that way to seek support from friends, family, services. You know, Next Step is here for that. So you don't have to do those things alone. And I know for me, my friends were so instrumental in me recognizing my own self-worth and understanding the things that I did deserve in my life. I think that that is an important takeaway when we're listening to songs like this, which are, I mean, they're beautiful songs. I still love these songs, but I do think that it's so important to look at them with a little bit of a critical lens, especially when we identify so strongly with them. Just because we see ourselves in a song doesn't mean that the things that are happening are normal or okay.
And social media isn't always real. And if it is real, we need to be talking about it because it's important to really separate those lines and know that what is healthy, trust, communication, honesty, accountability, respect, like those qualities are super important. All relationships look different. All relationships aren't perfect. But if like those foundational qualities aren't being met, then it's probably not a safe or healthy relationship. I'd like to thank my co-host, Carrie Clark, for joining me for today's conversation. While the emotions portrayed in the song may feel real and relatable, it's important to remember that love should never involve fear, control, manipulation, or abuse. We hope today's conversation has encouraged you to think more critically about these messages we hear in music and the ways that they can shape our understanding of relationship. You've been listening to Relationship Rewind. I'm your host, Jazz Bradley, and I hope you'll join us again next month on the third Tuesday from 4:30 p.m. to 5 p.m., where we'll be continuing this conversation and breaking down another relationship in popular media. You can also listen to our live stream or subscribe to our podcast at weru.org or on the WERU smartphone app. You can also find us on Spotify and Apple Music. If you're a young person in Maine who is interested in being a guest speaker on the show, have ideas of media we could talk about, or you know of a young person who might be interested, please reach out to me at jbradley@nextstepdvproject.org.